Thank you for joining me for this podcast to encourage, inspire, and strengthen. If you have a Bible or some other device, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord three times, that the thorn would depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let us pray. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. My teaching drop as the rain, my speech distills as the dew. Like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Amen. Our subject for today, God gives grace. This week's top story, COVID-19. Last week's breaking news, COVID-19. Headline news the week before that, COVID-19. And the week before that, COVID-19. And next week's breaking news will also be COVID-19. Since hearing about it, we prayed and prayed and prayed some more and taken precautions. The news surrounding the pandemic COVID-19 has been front and center for much longer than any of us desires. The words COVID-19 or coronavirus have undoubtedly been uttered by every person living in the industrialized part of our world. When the COVID-19 storm hit, the church around the world immediately and appropriately responded with prayer. We have prayed and prayed some more, and in all of our prayers, the death toll continues to rise. Currently, over 2,000 people are dying in America each day because of the virus. The virus has affected everyone listening to me right now. As of today in America, the confirmed and estimated cases of people infected with COVID-19 has topped 1 million. The known and estimated deaths have topped 50,000. People are dying from attending church funerals and sitting in nursing homes. Public transportation bus drivers are dying from doing their jobs. Doctors and nurses are dying from trying to save lives. And after all the prayers that have gone from earth to heaven, there is still no vaccine. There is still no cure. All of that solicits a very important question. Does it even matter if we pray? Does it even matter if we pray? The answer is yes. The word of God is clear that we should rejoice always and never stop praying. It may not feel like a time to rejoice. It may not feel as though praying matters, but it does. God may not give us what we think we need, but he does give us grace. Approximately 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul wrote a second letter to a weary community of Christ followers in the city of Corinth. A common belief is that Paul wrote four letters to the Christ followers at Corinth, and those four letters are included in the two books we will call 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The first letter is commonly referred to as the lost letter, in which Paul specifically required Christians in Corinth to separate themselves from immoral persons. In that letter, Paul said things like, "Be not deceived, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." He implored the believers to stay faithful by writing, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered the heart of men the things God has prepared for them that love him." God gives grace. The second letter is the pastoral letter, in which Paul addressed a number of problems existing within the Christian congregation at Corinth. It was in that letter that Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Those remarkable verses by themselves are enough encouragement for my soul to press on. God gives grace. But Paul didn't stop there. The third letter, frequently described as the painful letter, was written in the aftermath of a serious crisis between Paul and the Corinthians. In this letter, Paul attempted to advance reconciliation and healing amongst the followers. It was in that letter Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Paul taught us to walk by faith and not by sight, because we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm so thankful God gives grace. But Paul didn't stop there. The fourth letter, the letter we are focusing on today, is referred to as the thankful letter. Paul gives perhaps the most descriptive illustration of the pain he had endured when he said, "I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count. And at death's door, time after time, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, bashed with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day, traveling year in and year out. I've had to navigate rivers, fend off robbers, and fight with friends. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm. I've been betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxiety of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. I once in Damascus, and the governor posted guards at the city gates to arrest me. I crawled through a window and the wall was let down in a basket and ran for my life." And then Paul says these words, which are some of his final words in the final letter of the final book to the Christians at Corinth. "Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I would remain humble, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. I was given a thorn in my flesh. Satan's angel did his best to knock me out, but what he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I prayed for that, and then the answer came, because God always answers prayers. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is watch this." As Paul described all of the trouble he overcame and then described the thorn and hardship that he couldn't overcome, it is as if Christ interrupted Paul's prayer with the answer. If you have a red letter edition Bible that illuminates the words of Jesus in red letters, you will see the words of Jesus say, "My grace is enough. It is all you need. My strength is realized in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you." This was a case of Christ's strength being revealed, because Paul was powerless to overcome this type of hardship alone. In spite of the federal government stepping in to provide some assistance for individuals and businesses, one analyst predicts that the disruption to businesses from COVID-19 could lead to 15,000 retail store closures and 3% of all restaurants in America being permanently closed. The Economic Policy Institute predicts the virus could potentially wipe out 3 million jobs from the U.S. economy before this summer. Those concerns are also affecting small business owners across the country. I am a small business owner. I'm the past president of the National Association of Women Business Owners Indianapolis chapter. A third of our members surveyed across the nation said that in a month or less, their businesses would fail without financial assistance. This is an unprecedented time, and some things will never be the same. But God gives grace. Some thorns, hardships are seasonal. Others are generational. COVID-19 is a never-before-seen, once-in-a-lifetime type of hardship. Paul's hardship was for the rest of his life. With that being said, now is not the time to stop praying. We are just getting started with prayer. We need God to reveal himself more than we ever have before. We need God's grace just as he gave to Paul. Thankfully, God still gives grace. Once Paul realized that the hardship was a gift because God gave grace, Paul wrote, "Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size and abuse me are opportunity for God's glory." Paul said, "I just let Christ take over." Can somebody out there just let Christ take over? And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Here are 3 points Paul emphasized in his letter regarding God's grace. God gives grace to hurt and broken people. The thorn in Paul's flesh wasn't even specifically described in Scripture. All we know is that it was physically, emotionally, and psychologically debilitating, just like COVID-19. Paul overcame insurmountable obstacles, but he needed grace for that thorn. Paul nor any individual was powerful enough to cure the issue on their own. Paul, an apostle of God, prayed for his storm to end on 3 different occasions, but the storm didn't go away, just like COVID-19 is still here. And finally, God gave Paul the ultimate prescription, a prescription no doctor could fill. God gave grace. And in the midst of COVID-19, God gives us grace too. We are collectively facing the most difficult hardship of our lives. We have a thorn that is affecting each of us in a uniquely negative way. Life as we know it has changed, and some things will never be the same again. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, is what it says in 1 Peter 5:10, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Number 2, God gives grace to humble and happy people. Paul said, "I will remain humble. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to knock me out. What he in fact did was push me to my knees." Anybody been pushed to your knees? No danger then of walking around high and mighty. God gives grace, and God's grace is sufficient. Paul said he was happy hardship happened to him. Sometimes it's hard to say that. It's a bitter pill to swallow. Paul became glad. This is called the thankful letter, in part because at that time, Paul quit focusing on his hardship and began appreciating the thorn in his side as a gift from God. Paul said, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." 1 Peter 5 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will deliver you in due season. Don't give up because God gives grace. Number 3, God gives grace to helpless and hopeful people. Paul taught, "Sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace." Solomon said, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds grace." Paul concluded by saying, "Sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace." We've compiled a long record as sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are helpless and incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, but because of his grace. He puts us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. If you are wondering if God still saves, heals, and delivers today, yes, God gives grace. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work so that any man can boast. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to have hope. As I conclude, I want to share a story with you. As a young boy, his name was Johnny, grew up in England, hearing the scriptures of the Christian faith. He veered so far away from the Christian faith that he was mired in a sinful life and even became captain of a slave ship. One night on that ship, John was awakened by a violent storm. The ship about to sink, John climbed the ladder to reach the top of the ship. The man climbing above John was hit by a wave, swept away, and never seen again. John, whose life veered far from the Christian faith, now found himself at his lowest point, begging for God's mercy so he would not die. God gave John grace. In December 1772, John, now a pastor, was in his rural country attic and decided to write a poem to accompany his New Year's Day sermon. John drew inspiration from 1 Chronicles 17, where King David looked back on his life and asked God, "Who am I? Thou hast brought me here." That verse allowed Reverend John to reflect on his own life, remembering being battered in the middle of the storm at the sea with death all around him for 11 hours. John wrote these words into the poem that accompanied his New Year's Day sermon. "Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. Remembering when the storm winds calmed and he knew God was his savior, John wrote, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Thinking about the sailor that died climbing the ladder ahead of him, John wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come." Realizing it was the grace of Jesus that allowed him to reach the seashore safely, John wrote, "'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home." March 21st became John Newton's day of freshly experiencing God's grace. I am sure you remember the closing words of John's poem that became an international Christian hymn. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Almost 250 years ago, those words were first heard by a small English congregation. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Seems to be the definitive song of the personal conversion experience John Newton traveled. Newton personally experienced conversion from a slave owner to an abolitionist. Helping to end slavery in England, he died 9 months after this his bill. The act of the abolition of the slave trade was passed. After his death, a melodic tune was added to his poem, and the hymn we know today as Amazing Grace was born. What I'm saying is, God has a formula for turning tragedy into triumph. God has a prescription for healing the sin-sick soul. The same song that was originally written by a man that was once the captain of a slave ship ended up being sung by freedom marchers during the civil rights movement. "Amazing Grace" was sung before Martin Luther King gave his "I Have a Dream" speech. "Amazing Grace" was sung in South Africa when Nelson Mandela was being released after being in prison for 27 years. "Amazing Grace" was sung in Germany when the Berlin Wall fell. "Amazing Grace" was used to comfort a nation after the Twin Towers fell. "Amazing Grace" was used to bring hope and reconciliation at the end of President Obama's eulogy of 9 African Americans massacred in a church in my hometown of Charleston, South Carolina during Bible study. And today, in spite of the pandemic, God's grace is still amazing. You don't need a doctor's permission for this. You don't have to pay for it. It cannot be earned. God gives it freely. It's called grace, and we all need it in times like these. If you have recently felt far from God's grace, or if you have never asked for God's grace, or if you would like God's grace poured afresh into your life, I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how. God, we come right now in thanksgiving that you allowed your son to die on the cross and you gave us an amazing grace. God, there are some right now that are under the sound of my voice that don't know you, don't understand the importance of a relationship with you, don't know how to navigate the waters to get to you. And God, we ask right now that you will reach out and grab their hand. Lord God, that you will pull them closer and that you will hold them in your bosom. God, that you will allow them to experience a new life and a fresh anointing. God, that they will be able to see you, to hear you, to know you, and to love you. And that they themselves will be able to draw others to you. Lord God, we thank you in advance for your amazing grace that allows us to know that we were once blind, but now we see. In your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.